This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salawatullahi wa salamuhu ala nabiyihi al-kareem. Alayhi afdalu salatu wa atamu taslim. Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yasirli amri wa hlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So today is the third day of fasting during this month of Ramadan, and I think that it's going well. I think it's going well for the most part, at least for me it is, alhamdulillah. Do have a little bit of back pain from the move that we made recently, but other than that, alhamdulillah, you know, the fasting seems to be going all right. You know, year after year, we usually meet community members and people who have to spend their time, you know, going to work and doing physical work, right? So people who are doing a lot of physically demanding labor and stuff like that. And it can be very challenging, especially during this time of the year, during the month of Ramadan. So I know for a lot of community members now that are staying home and having the ability to stay home, alhamdulillah, they, you know, don't really have to exert themselves so much. Those that are going out, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon you and make it easy for you and your family throughout this difficult time. We know that it's not easy for anyone, even if you're staying at home. It is very challenging just to, you know, be stuck at home and not be able to go out and about and do the things that we typically do. So it can be very challenging, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for every single one of us. So I do see a few people saying salam, Farhana, or I'm assuming that we say Farhana, right? F-A-R-J-A-N-A. Wa alaykum as-salam, and Brother Ridwan, mashallah, tabarakallah, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. I actually live closer to you now. We moved just down the street from you, so I'll see you soon, inshallah. Hopefully, we'll see you when we drive by. Abdul Rashid Bahir, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And, you know, everyone on Instagram, it's a pleasure to see all of you once again, alhamdulillah. And mashallah, tabarakallah, Trinidad and Tobago. Man, I need to get my doubles and bus up shot. Alhamdulillah. We have people from all over the world attending. And that's, you know, such a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa alaykum as-salam to every single one of you. One, you're probably in Malaysia or maybe from Malaysia. And I know some of the other people here in our community as well saying salam. So wa alaykum as-salam to every single one of you and your children. I'm sure there's probably a lot of children that are watching. So salam alaykum to every single one of you. Alhamdulillah. All right, so let's get into it, inshallah. We're going to begin the fourth juz of the Qur'an today, okay? The fourth juz of the Qur'an. And so we're still within Surah Ali Imran, okay? The fourth juz is still within Surah Ali Imran. And then we will transition into near the end of the juz, we begin Surah An-Nisa, okay? The surah titled The Women, okay? So at the beginning of the fourth juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this juz with the mentioning of birr, righteousness, once again. And we spoke about it the day before yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, about righteousness and piety. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبِلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And the verse goes on, right? It's a fairly lengthy verse. However, here we see at the beginning of this juz, and I see someone who just pulled up in my driveway, so my doorbell may ring any second now. But we see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts this juz off by saying, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مَا تُحِبُّونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that you will never achieve righteousness until you donate some of what you cherish, right? You donate some of what you cherish. And whatever you give is certainly well known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights righteousness once again. And He says, you will never attain righteousness. As we saw in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبْلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on into discussing giving wealth, right? And spending on those who travel and those who are in need and those who are, deserving. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says once again, you will not fully and truly attain piety until you give what you cherish, what you love. حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مَا تُحِبُّونَ. So my brothers and sisters, a huge part of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and gaining that connection and righteousness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is found in us giving up the things that we love from this dunya. And from the things that we love the most, the things that we love the most of this dunya, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَفِتْنَةُ أُمَّتِي فِي الْمَالِ. The fitna or the trial, the difficulties, the hardship that we will be tested with, right? In terms of what we love, what we desire, you know, the things that we enjoy and cherish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, wa fitnatu ummati fil mal. The fitna of my ummah is in wealth, right? In wealth, in money. And so my brothers and sisters, when we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us now, you will not truly and fully attain righteousness, piety with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until you give that which you love. حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مَا تُحِبُّونَ. I love dates, right? The dates that we eat. Kajur dates, you know, like tamar dates. And so subhanAllah, when you give them away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with much more. The other day, subhanAllah, I went around and, you know, just stopped off at some people's houses. I had some extra boxes of dates and gave them away as a gift. Some of the new neighbors, some of the people who helped us during the move, because we had to move during this coronavirus, you know, COVID-19 pandemic. And some of the brothers came out and helped us move. Alhamdulillah, it was such a blessing. And I thought, you know what? What an amazing thing to do, to give dates to people who helped you move and to earn the reward of them fasting as well. And so, subhanAllah, went around giving people some dates. But also what we noticed in the last few days, we've been receiving so many dates. People have been giving us dates like crazy. And so I was thinking today, the amount of dates that I gave away, we probably have received already from others. It's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, لَن تَنَالُ الْبِرْ. You will not truly attain piety, righteousness. حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مَا تُحِبُّونَ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. And whatever you give is certainly well known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows it. So you can give away something simple. You might like this, and we give it to you. Don't ask for it, it's my wife's, right? I'm not going to give it away. But no, subhanAllah, you might like it, and you know, we give it to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that this is something so simple. It's just a piece of wood. It's just a design. It's something, you know, you just put on the wall. Alhamdulillah, it looks nice. It is a mentioning of, you know, the ayat or the surah of the Quran that are important, Surah Al-Ikhlas and the Mu'awwidhatan. However, it's something basit, it's simple, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows when you give something, you sacrifice something, you part with it for the sake of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us so much more in return. And we can't fully and truly attain righteousness until we start to give away the things that we cherish the most. Remember, we're not going to be here forever, right? So it's important to try to start doing that. All right, let's move down. Just a few more verses. Verse number 96 of Surah Al-Imran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكًا وَهُدًى لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that surely the first house, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ, وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ, the first house that's a place of worship, right? A place to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the first place that we go to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, established for humanity, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةِ. It is the one in Bakkah. What is Bakkah? Where is Bakkah? Bakkah is one of the traditional names for Mecca. Okay? It used to also be called Bakkah. And so today, if you go to Mecca, the people who live in Mecca, if you say, Alhamdulillah, wasalna bi Bakka, they will say, Alhamdulillah, ala ni'matillah, right? Or something like that. They understand, they know that Mecca used to be called Bakka. Okay, and so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses that word in the Quran, Bakka, the former name for that holy city where we find the Kaaba today. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Mubarakan, a blessed sanctuary and a guide for all people. Fihi ayatun bayyinatun, maqamu Ibrahim. In it are clear signs and the standing place of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, the maqam of Ibrahim. Fihi ayatun bayyinatun maqamu Ibrahim. Wa man dakhalahu kana amina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Mecca, this traditional city known as Bakka, where in it is found the very first place that has been positioned for us in terms of worship as the believers and followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mecca in itself was established, and we see that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he built this Kaaba, and he established it there with his son Ibrahim and his son Ismail alayhim as-salam, the two of them, they built the Kaaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Ibrahim alayhi as-salam something to stand on, something that would elevate him and allow him to put the bricks higher and higher in position to form the Kaaba. Okay? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, in it are clear signs. And the standing place of Ibrahim. Today, when you look at the Kaaba, it brings tears to the eyes and sadness to the heart, because you wish to be there. We were supposed to be there for Umrah a few weeks ago, right? Just before Ramadan. We were supposed to have returned during March, at the end of March. We didn't get to go. And when you look at the pictures and you see that there's hardly anyone there, you know, subhanAllah, my wife's sister, for example, she waited her whole life to go for either Hajj or Umrah. She's in her 40s now. And subhanAllah, wished to go to Mecca and finally was able to go. She decided, our nephew was taking her and went as her mahram with her as a single mother. So he said, you know what, he'll go with her. And subhanAllah, he went with her. They went for Umrah, but they could not perform Umrah. In fact, they were in Mecca, but they were not even allowed to perform Umrah. And so all they could do from the first floor is perform Tawaf, and that was it. So imagine you wait your whole life to be able to go to Mecca, to Bakka, to the city of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's established for us to turn to. فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرًا الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. We learned that yesterday, that we turn facing the direction of the Kaaba. And it is a place that we stand in direction to worship Allah. But it is the home of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the sense that it is a place of worship. It's a place of ibadah. We go there to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so you make the tawaf around the Kaaba, and then you stand back behind Maqam Ibrahim in the place and position that the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stood, right? And you see the stone where the footprints of Ibrahim alayhi salam are preserved. And then you go and you make your tawaf, your sa'i between Safa and Marwa, the place where Hajar, the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he left her there, before the Kaaba was even built, he left her in that area. There was nothing. It was barren, empty land. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for her zamzam, right? That came from the ground, the zamzam well. And so you stand in those places. You pray in those places. You may be making sajda, putting your head to the ground, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and placing your forehead in the same position on earth that one of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had placed their head as well. Or one of the messengers. Or even Hajar, right? Or baby Ismail could have been placed on the ground there to rest while his mother was, getting some zamzam water, right? So it's a blessing. In it are signs. We run between the valley in the middle of Mecca, in the middle of Safa and Marwa. You're traveling between those two mountains, right? And the valley in between, we run. And as men, we run, reminding ourselves that a woman ran in this place. And she ran looking for this water to go back up the next mountain to search for something to give to her child. And we as men, we run there and we remember this was one of our mothers, one of the mothers of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a wife of the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who ran here in search of provisions for herself and for her child. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us there and He shows us that there are signs, clear signs here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا. Whoever enters into Makkah is safe. You're protected, you're safe. And I always remind, you know, subhanAllah, sometimes you go for Hajj or Umrah and you get there, and sometimes the workers, you know, they're frustrated, they're tired, they're dealing with a huge crowd, 3 million people, you know, walking around. There's lots of noise. It's very crowded. It's congested. Sometimes you feel nervous. You might even get an anxiety attack, right? One of the sisters with us last year, she had a really difficult time. Her anxiety was so high because she's in a crowd. There's so many people. You feel nervous. You feel scared, like something may happen. And if something happens, are you going to be safe? And so sometimes with the workers there, when they're stressed, you know, and they get upset, I say things to them like, you know, this is a place that we are safe. And they are providing safety to us, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us as pilgrims, when we go there, we are protected, we're safe. And the people of Makkah, they're there serving us, right? They're serving the people that come. And I remember one time, you know, I went, the very first time I took my wife for Umrah, the immigration officer in the Jeddah airport, you know, he was giving people a hard time for whatever reason, right? He was giving people a hard time, and everyone has their stories of how hard it was and how difficult it was and how patient they had to be. And so when we finally reached the counter and gave him our passports, you know, he started to treat us like he was treating everyone else. And I wasn't going to take that, right? Because I know, I lived there for so many years. I was like, you know, able to speak to them in Arabic, able to communicate with them. And so I told him, I said, you know, you should be treating us a lot better. You are the people who hold the keys to the Kaaba. You are the people who Allah has chose to look after His house. And Allah has chose to welcome us as Hujjaj, as Mu'tamirin, as people coming to perform pilgrimage here. And so you are supposed to be taking care of us and honoring us because Allah has honored you. And immediately he changed. He was like, where are you from? Canada, I gave you my passport. I told him, I said, I'm a graduate from the Islamic University. I said, I studied with people like you. And so you guys have been placed in a position of honor and respect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to look after his home and look after this deen of Allah. And so he felt really like honored and happy. And then he treated me and everyone after us very decently, subhanAllah. So sometimes you need to remind people, you know, we get angry, we get upset, we're stressed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا. Whoever enters into Mecca, you're safe and protected. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and for Allah, pilgrimage is made to His house as an obligation to those who are able to, مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, who are able to perform that pilgrimage. And whoever disbelieves, then surely Allah is not in need of any of His creation. Someone chooses not to believe, someone chooses not to go for Hajj, someone chooses not to go for Umrah. That's their choice, right? Remember we learned yesterday, لا إكراه في الدين. There's no compulsion in the deen. We're not going to force anyone into doing something. And so we need to take it easy. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us, whoever believes and whoever is able to and travels to pilgrimage, to Mecca, to perform, whether Hajj or Umrah, we do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for no other reason. However, at the same time, what we see here is those who choose not to, that's okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He's not in need of it. He doesn't need us to go and perform Hajj. He doesn't need us to perform pilgrimage. And this, my brothers and sisters, is the reminder for us in the condition that we see Mecca in today, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of us making tawaf around the Kaaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of us going between Safa and Marwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of us going and seeking forgiveness. We are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so my brothers and sisters, when it comes to Mecca, don't feel sad. Don't feel like, you know, we need to do something in order to uplift or upkeep our deen. A simple example, people say, well, we have to have Salatul Jum'ah, and we have to have Taraweeh, and we have to have I'tikaf. No. At a time like this, if we can't have it, don't forget, Allah doesn't need us to do these things. We need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the safety and protection of your home at this current time, do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still expects from us. He's still expecting us to pray our salah every single day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still expecting for us to treat Jumu'ah as a special day in the week, even though there is no salah of Jumu'ah. There may not be Salatul Jumu'ah, but there still is istighfar. There still is Qira'atul Qur'an, recitation of the Qur'an. There still is dua, supplication. There still is seeking forgiveness. There still is sending peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There still is taking a shower, a bath, and putting on nice clothing, and grooming ourselves beautifully, and putting on perfume, and cleaning our mouth and teeth, and making sure that we come early and ready, so we are busy in ibadah. That is still part of Friday. So my brothers and sisters, don't feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs us. He doesn't. We need Him. So in a situation where we're stuck and we're not able to go to the masjid, we're not able to gather for taraweeh, we're not able to congregate for even i'tikaf and stuff like that, alhamdulillah, at least we are safe and still able to fulfill the aspects of ibadah that we need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? We move on. The next verses that we will take, verse number 103 of Surah Ali Imran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. I'm not going to read all of the Arabic. In fact, in order to save time, I'm going to start reading less of the Arabic and just explain the English, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here in verse number 103, and hold firmly to the rope of Allah and do not be divided. Right? Do not be divided. As an ummah, we can't afford to be divided. We need to be united. So hold on to the rope of Allah. What is that rope of Allah? Like Tarzan. Right? SubhanAllah, I remember we grew up watching Tarzan. I think many of our kids don't know what Tarzan is nowadays. Right? But Tarzan, what is he holding on to? He's holding on to this rope, and it's like his rope of safety. If he falls from it, he falls and he may die. The rope that we hold on to as believers is the rope of Allah, known as the Qur'an, right? The Qur'an. The Qur'an that we're reading through, the Qur'an that we're learning right now, the Qur'an that we're spending time with, that is the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah tells us, hold on to it all together, every single one of us. Hold on to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And do not be dispersed. Do not be divided amongst yourselves. Don't go different ways. Come together. Be united. Be together, right? And then he says, and remember the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that were upon you as enemies. And this is, of course, talking about the tribes, early tribes during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that were divided. And, you know, they differed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you were on the edge of the cliff and you were about to fall into Jahannam, but you were saved. And you held on to the rope together, and you brought your hearts, you know, together, united for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He then says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. Let there be amongst you a group of people who call others to goodness. Who call others to goodness. My brothers and sisters, have you called someone to goodness recently? Have you invited someone to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have you shown someone else the beautiful method of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in living our lives in 2020? Have you done that? Have I done that? Have we been able to do that? You know, subhanAllah, simple example, our sisters sometimes do it all the time without even noticing it, right? And as brothers, we may fall short. Our sisters, they wear the hijab, they go out. That's a sign, a clear-cut sign of Islam. Especially at a time when people are like, you know, putting down Islam, and people are, you know, taking away from the rights of the human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us, as a woman who goes out, who's wearing her hijab, you are showing an example of Islam to others. You are calling people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nowadays, when you look at it, you see people wearing masks, right? People wearing masks on their faces. And they're covering themselves up. They're not just wearing masks. They're wearing gloves. People used to laugh at our Muslim sisters who were covered up completely, protecting themselves from the harms of society. Now, and I'm not saying that this is, you know, the reason why we're going through all of this pandemic and stuff. No, not at all. Not mentioning that at all. And I'm one of the first ones to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best why this is coming to us and why we have it. However, you know, people would mock Muslims. And now, look what we saw yesterday. Allahu Akbar. For the very first time, Medina Masjid downtown. I remember when I was young, I used to go in Jamaat, right? I was studying in a Darul Ulum in a madrasa, right? Memorizing Quran. And we used to go in Jamaat, Tablighi Jamaat. And we used to stay there. Don't do that anymore, for the record. But, you know, subhanAllah, when I was younger, we used to go and we used to spend, you know, weekends at Medina Masjid. We used to go there and sleep the night. And subhanAllah, it's transformed so much. Now look at this, 2020, after everything that's going on since September 11 until now, you know, Muslims in the media being shown as, or being portrayed as being evil and bad and stuff like that. And look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the hearts of certain people, where the adhan is permitted to be called downtown, just very close to downtown, in the heart of Toronto, out loud on the loudspeakers, until the end of the month of Ramadan. Every single day, the adhan is going to be called from Medina Masjid, Toronto, at the heart of the city, for Salat al-Maghrib until the end of the month of Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Like, what more do we want? And we are not doing this in order to make life difficult for our neighbors. No, it is calling upon Allah, the creator of all of the human beings. If there are any non-Muslims that are watching right now or may watch this later on, they might say, well, why do we need to do that? This is Canada, right? Creeping Sharia and all this Sharia law and stuff like that that people are talking about. No, we are not doing anything that we feel is harmful to others. And it's such a beautiful tone and it's being heard by many people. It's a call to prayer, a call to success, a call to the oneness of, you know, to worship the oneness of God, right? To worship God. And it's something that we do in order to also indicate to those who are fasting during the month of Ramadan, it's time to break your fast. It's time to break your fast. How many movies did we see the adhan being called in? Or the phrase, Allahu Akbar, being mentioned in movies and people run. They're like, oh my God, something's going to happen. Something's going to blow up. Allahu Akbar is not a call to danger. It's a call to goodness, a call to success. In fact, it's just a simple phrase that means God, Allah, is the greatest. But when we see it being mentioned in movies, it's usually like, oh no, here we go. Right? They're making the Muslims look bad. And I remember a few years ago, I traveled with my father. We flew to Pakistan. We flew from Toronto to London Heathrow to Abu Dhabi to Karachi and then to Islamabad and back. And on the way there, something was in my dad's bag, right? It was something in my bag that they noticed in the x-ray as they passed it through. And they're like, you know, what is this thing? And it was basically an izar band, right? Those of you who wear like a shalwar kameez, you know, right? It's just that stick with a string on the end. And you put the other string through that you pass through your pants. And basically, it's a belt. But it's a belt that's like 5 meters long, right? For the shalwar that you wear. And so long story short, we're going through the airport. And they see this in my dad's bag. And they pull it, you know, they pull his bag aside. And they open it up. They're like, what is this? And they're frustrated because they don't know what it is. And my dad's getting frustrated with them, right? He's old. And so He's like, oh, I don't understand. These people, they're just making life difficult for Muslims, right? He doesn't travel a lot. And I travel a lot. And I'm like, Dad, come on, just chill, man. Don't get upset. And I remember we were in Toronto and then we were in London Heathrow and the same thing happened. And he got upset, and subhanAllah, my dad, when he's frustrated, he just goes, Allahu Akbar. We're in the airport and he's like, Allahu Akbar, what's wrong with these people? I'm like, Dad, we're in the airport. There are certain words that Muslims know not to use in the airport. And he's like, what? Don't be scared. These people, they're just trying to make life difficult for you. I'm like, I know, but like, I don't want to make life difficult for them. And I don't want to call them these people. They're human beings. They're doing things for the safety of everyone, right? And so they're just questioning, what is this thing in your bag? And then once it's fine, they'll let you go with it. And alhamdulillah, they let him go with it, right? Everything was fine. We traveled and it was just awesome. But that's an example of how, you know, sometimes we call people to Islam and we don't realize that one of the simplest ways of calling people to Islam is not to use this. It's not to use this, not to use our mouth. It's to use ourselves, to be a good person, to show a good example, to share goodness, to share khair, right? To spread the example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our speech, or even without our speech, in the way that we do things. We don't cheat, we don't lie, we don't steal, we don't harm others. We look after each other, we don't discriminate. If we see someone, let's say, you know, there's a house burning, or maybe not use the example of a house burning because we're not supposed to encourage people to run into a house that's burning, right? But we see someone that's in need, someone fell, or, you know, a woman is crossing the street and a car is coming down the street and she doesn't see it. And you as a Muslim man, you're going to stand there and go, oh, I'm not mahram to her, so I'm not going to, sorry, I can't do anything. And you're watching the car and the car comes and hits her. No. As a Muslim, if there's a woman or a man, anyone walking across the street and there's a car coming, there's harm, we have a responsibility to save that person. Yes, in times of ease, for example, you know, a Muslim, myself as a Muslim, a woman comes in and sticks her hand out to shake my hand. I'm not going to shake your hand because that's something I choose not to do for the sake of my deen, for the sake of my nearness with Allah. And because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned something, you know, about this. And so I choose not to do it. And I feel that this is the best thing to do. However, at a time when I see a woman is standing in the street or crossing the street and a car is coming and going to hit her, I would run and like push her and grab her and take her away, right? So that the car doesn't hit her. That's what we're supposed to do. So as Muslims, we have to be the people in society that show the best example, that people start to question. It's fine for people to question us, especially when we're doing good. So people see us praying. As Muslims, we shouldn't get offended with people questioning, what are you doing? We should be like, I'm praying. I'm showing you an example of what we're supposed to do. So when you stand in the street, for example, well, coronavirus now, please respect all the, you know, laws and bylaws and all the stuff that's out there. But generally speaking, non-coronavirus, because inshallah this won't last forever, inshallah ta'ala, and you know, maybe people will be watching this years from now. You know, if you're standing outside praying and people come and question you, or you're wearing your hijab and people question you, don't feel offended, feel honored that you are showing people an example of your deen. And people are recognizing your deen, and they're not coming and harming you, they're coming and questioning, why do you do this? They want to learn. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is opening their hearts to Islam. And we as the Muslims are like, oh, everyone's against us. No, not everyone's against us. Maybe that person's heart is opening to Islam and Allah is making you a means of conveying the message of Islam to the heart of that person. And so don't get offended, my brothers and sisters. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When someone ignorant comes and says something to us, we respond in a nice, peaceful way. We move on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. And do not be like those who split into sects, who split themselves up and differed after clear proofs had come to them. It is they who will suffer a tremendous punishment. My brothers and sisters, Islam is clear. The deen is clear. In terms of ibadah, the things that we're supposed to do to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are clear, 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 right? We do not pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ways that were not shown to us by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We do not perform hajj in a country or a place other than Mecca and, you know, Mina and Muzdalifah and Arafah and so on and so forth. We do not fast during the month of Dhul Qa'dah for 30 consecutive days. The ways that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are shown to us. Clear, we understand it. We fast during Ramadan. We go for Hajj in Mecca, Muzdalifah, Arafah, and Mina. We, you know, do certain things. We shave our head. We wear certain clothing, right? We are respectful to one another. We don't harm ourselves or harm each other or harm society. There are things that we follow in our deen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us it's clear. And those who choose not to follow it, well, that's their choice, right? That's their choice. We move on. Here we'll go to verse number 133. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and hasten, be quick, rush towards the forgiveness of your Lord and paradise that is vast as the heavens and the earth, prepared for those mindful of Allah. Rush towards the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask yourself this: how many times have I said astaghfirullah today? How many times today have I said astaghfirullah? Have I even done it once? Right? One of the beautiful things, I don't have my phone, I'm using it to stream on Instagram, but one of the beautiful things about, technology, and it really bothers me sometimes when I meet people who are like so against technology. I like technology, alhamdulillah. I also have my reservations towards technology, but some of the things that are out there are beneficial. For example, you know, the Muslim Pro app, you go on it, you have the timings of Salah, right? The Adhan timings, the prayer timings. You also have a tracker. So you can go in there and keep track of all the days that you fast and the days that you may have missed fasting. Maybe you were sick and you didn't fast. So some people say, you know what? I don't remember how many days I missed last year. We have no excuse anymore. Use the technology that we have. You can mark off the days that you fast. You can mark off the salah that you pray, or you can use it for your children to say, hey, look, yesterday you prayed 4 prayers. Maybe today you can try and pray 5, right? And so we can use the technology that we have. It's there for us. Rush towards it. And there's also things that encourage us. There's dua. It reminds us to do istighfar. It reminds us to, you know, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the morning and the evening. There are things that we can use, right? So Allah says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Strive hard, push, rush towards the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And towards Jannah, paradise. Like, I don't know how much longer I'm going to live. You don't know how much longer you're going to live. What if we only have 5 more days? What size Jannah have I built? And can I increase the size of my paradise in the next 5 days? Absolutely. If I say, Subhanallah, a tree is planted, my Jannah becomes bigger, right? If I pray my daily sunnah, right? The sunan al-rawatib, the sunnah mu'akkada that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam never missed, those 12 raka'ah, extra 12 raka'ah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed. If we pray those every single day, a palace is built for us in our Jannah. If a palace is built, it means that the Jannah is getting bigger. It's not like existing land and you build on the land. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the land grow bigger and bigger. The more we do, the bigger the paradise. The more rewards we get, the bigger the paradise. The higher, the greater, the better the paradise. And so my brothers and sisters, don't think of paradise as like one set amount of space. It keeps growing the more that we do and the more that we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Him. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us now to give in prosperity and adversity, control their anger. People who control their anger. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. Those who control their anger and pardon others, right? Forgive others. Someone harmed you, it's okay, right? Someone took away something that belongs to you, it's okay, right? I'll get something better, right? You gave away something to someone else, it's okay. Don't worry, alhamdulillah, it's fine. Allah will give me something better, right? And Allah loves those who do good. Right? Allahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Allah loves those who do good. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعْلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يَصِرُوا عَلَى مَا فَعْلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are those who are these people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just finished mentioning, you know, people who hasten towards forgiveness. They want paradise, right? And a huge paradise. It's prepared for them. They are those who donate in prosperity, right? They donate openly, secretly, lots, little amounts, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts whatever we give. Those who control their anger, those who forgive or pardon others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who do good. Who are these people? They are those who, when they commit a sin, an evil deed, or wrong themselves, أو ظلموا أنفسهم, ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم. They remember Allah and then seek forgiveness and do not knowingly persist in that sin. And who forgives sins except Allah? Question mark, right? Who forgives sins except Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who forgives, وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who forgives us of our sins. أُولَٰئِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَجَنَّاتٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then blesses us with lots of things. But the point here, my brothers and sisters, is that it's important for us to rush towards the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we make a mistake, it's fine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing out that from the best of people of this earth are those who, when they make a mistake, they rush to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's important. We need to do that. Allah knows that we're going to make mistakes. You made a mistake, 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 and I made a mistake. All of us. Right? But the beautiful thing about our deen, the beautiful thing about Allah, the beautiful thing that we learn from the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to forgive. And He will forgive so long as we ask. And so ask, my brothers and sisters, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. Verse number 142. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Do you think that you're going to enter paradise without Allah proving which of you truly struggled for His cause and patiently endured? Do you think you're just going to enter into paradise without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testing us? So that we have the ability to show, Ya Allah, here we are. Ya Allah, I'm ready. Let's go. I'm ready to give it all I've got. 110% for you, O Allah. Right? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us this question. Am hasibtum an tadkhulul jannah? You think you're going to enter into paradise without having gone through any hardships, without being tested, without, you know, in showing that you're able to endure. And subhanAllah, and I'm going to ask my family upstairs to close the door, please, because the sound is basically bouncing back and forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is showing us we need to endure. When you think of it during Hajj, Lina, can you close the door upstairs? Okay. When you're going for Hajj and things are too hard and someone comes beside you and puts their arm, you know, locks their arm in your arm and says, Bismillah, hayya, let's go. And you're like, no, I can't go. Like, no, Bismillah, we're going. We're going to do this, right? I remember not last Hajj, the Hajj before. There was a brother who was having a really, really hard time walking. He got sores on his feet and blisters and stuff. And he couldn't go. He was like, Daud, I can't do this anymore. I can't do it. I'm like, hey, Bismillah, we're going to go. We have to do this. You came here for this. You came here for this. You came to sacrifice. You came to struggle. You came to seek forgiveness. And forgiveness is not easy. Jannah is not easy. When someone leaves after performing their Hajj completely, perfectly, according to the Sunnah, they return back to wherever they came from, كَيَوْمٍ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ, as the day they were born, their mother gave birth to them. What is that day? Pure, pure, pure purity. SubhanAllah, you're holding this baby in your hands. Pure, right? No sins, no mistakes, no haram, no nothing. Pure. A person who returns after enduring hardship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gives to that person so much of this dunya and so much of the akhirah. But we need to make that sacrifice and we need to endure it. There has to be a struggle, my brothers and sisters. So what we're going through right now in the world, this struggle is good. This struggle is needed. This struggle is real. We need to feel hardship in our lives in order for us to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without this hardship, remember, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Right? You think you're going to go through this super easy without patiently enduring what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us and you're going to get the highest ranks of paradise? No way. No way. Bilal radiallahu anhu. Bilal radiallahu anhu. His footsteps were heard in paradise. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him, what is it that you do that I heard your footsteps in paradise? SubhanAllah, brothers and sisters, if you're able, if you live in Milton, and you're able to look out the window, look out the window. Look at the sky. SubhanAllah. I see pink and purple and shade, all beautiful kinds of shades that no iPad can replicate. SubhanAllah. The sky is so beautiful right now. I actually want to leave this and go outside and look at it. Those of you who know me, you know I love the sky. I love to be in the sky. SubhanAllah. You took pictures of it? SubhanAllah. It's a beautiful sky, right? I don't remember what I was saying. Someone remind me. I was talking about sacrificing and being patient and enduring. Bilal radiallahu anhu, his footsteps were heard in paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking, what do you do? Now think of it. Before we even know what Bilal radiallahu anhu did, who is he? He's someone who his clothing was stripped of his body. He was placed on the hottest of surfaces, right? In the middle of the desert. With his skin burning, with a stone put on top of him. And what is he doing? Ahadun ahad. He is not denouncing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. At all, at all. That is Bilal radiallahu anhu. So what did he do that his footsteps are heard in paradise? Every time he made wudu radiallahu anhu, he would pray to raka'ah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A simple thing. He would follow through with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every time you make wudu, just pray to raka'ah. Right? You refresh your wudu, pray to raka'ah of sunnah. The extra sunnah prayers is what gets us to paradise, my brothers and sisters. And so the patience that we endure in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take us the distance. Then in verse number 176, وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ. O Prophet, do not grieve for those who race to disbelief. Don't be saddened over those who choose to reject the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surely they will not harm Allah in the least. It is Allah's will to disallow them a share in the hereafter, and they will suffer a tremendous punishment. My brothers and sisters, it isn't us. We want goodness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that we are sad when people reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows that we are sad when we see our family, our relatives, our friends, our neighbors, our colleagues, people who we know, who we interact with, who disobey or who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows that we're sad. And He's telling us, don't be sad. Because it is not us who chooses the destiny of the person in the hereafter. It is Allah. Don't be sad. Continue to invite, continue to be good, continue to call to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If people choose it, they choose it. If they reject it, keep trying. You will feel sad. You will feel hurt. Allah knows that we will. But they are not doing what they're doing for us. They're doing it for Allah or they're doing it for themselves. So we leave it at that, my brothers and sisters. And then we move to verse number 175. verse number 175 of Surah Al-Imran. And I see someone else at our front door. SubhanAllah, this neighborhood is amazing. Alhamdulillah. It's like, and I'm intentionally recording down here or live streaming from down here because Marwa and Lina, if you're upstairs, Hannah is at the door. Iman, is it? Is it Iman? Oh, no, that's Hannah. Alhamdulillah. So she's at the door. SubhanAllah, you know, this family came by yesterday and dropped some stuff off, and they came today again and dropped some stuff off. SubhanAllah. You know, such an amazing neighborhood to live in, and that's what's important. You know, you have good people. Then, verse number 185 of Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here, and we'll conclude with this. I know there's just 5 minutes until, seven minutes until the adhan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Just make sure, okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul shall taste death. Every soul shall taste death. And you will only receive your full reward on the day of judgment. My brothers and sisters, sometimes we want our full reward in this dunya. It will not come to us in this dunya. Our full reward will come to us in the akhirah. The reward, look, subhanAllah, you give a dollar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to multiply that $700 and give you 700 now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can multiply it however He wishes, whenever He wishes, in whatever form He wishes, whether in this dunya or later on. Allah can give it to us now. Don't get me wrong. Don't think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't, right? And I encourage us, the more we give, the more we get. The more we continue to give, the more content we will be with Allah, and the more pleased we will be with giving. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every single one of us will taste the taste of death. How that taste is up to us. You know, you go to the kitchen, you smell the food, right? You're cooking it, it's there. You either fry it or you bake it or you roast it or you grill it, or, you know, there's different ways that you can cook it. And then when you taste the flavor of your food, it tastes different based on how it was cooked. Death can taste different based on how we cook ourselves in this life. And what I mean by cooking is how we prepare ourselves to leave this world. How are you marinating yourself right now? Right? It's kind of weird to say that, but it's true. How are we marinating ourselves right now? What are we marinating our soul with? And the way that we marinate our souls with in our heart, if it's goodness, then our soul will leave with ease. And if we're marinating our soul with sin and evil and bad, and it's just dark and gloomy inside of us, then we will return to Allah in a very sad, very difficult, very hard state, my brothers and sisters. We'll conclude with that for today. Alhamdulillah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon us, to grant us the best of this dunya and the akhirah, to make us from amongst those whose fast is accepted, to bless us with the reward of having fasted all day, and to bless us with the happiness and joy of standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being called into the gates of Ar-Rayyan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon every single one of us who is not able to fast for whatever reason, for it is not a punishment from Allah. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen us to experience a different aspect of life and a different aspect of this deen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us ease and safety and protection. Ameen. Jazakumullahu khayran. We'll see all of you tomorrow once again, insha'Allah. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.